going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The final buzzer has sounded and the game's over. It's time to talk about who played well and who didn't. It's the Milwaukee Basketball Postgame Show, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Now let's get to your calls and reaction from the game with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
How about it, Bucks fans? Woohoo! That's right. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you out here at the Potawatomi Sportsbook in the studio as we're doing the Michael Jordan postgame show. That wouldn't have been right. The Milwaukee Basketball postgame show powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. I would never, ever have guessed that is how that basketball game went. I do have a funny story to tell you. We'll tell you the score first before we do that, about what happened here at the Potawatomi Sportsbook. So Bucks win 117-101 over the Pacers. If you're leaving the game, if you're streaming, if you want to hop aboard, get your thoughts on what happened today. What changed? What got the Bucks this victory in your opinion? Nicola Law Fan Talking Text Line 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Plus, the Packers are on deck to make their third-round selection, Charlie. So we can also kind of give you an idea on their third-round selection. So when they make their pick, Charlie's got all the draft guide stuff, I think, still in front of him. So we may have to go to Charlie at some point to get a breakdown for whoever the Packers may pick here in the third round. 117-101. I got to tell you what happened. So you know how I've been on the air complaining nonstop about, hey, man, I want somebody to put Halliburton on his behind. Remember how I've been saying that?
You've been saying it all the time.
I have been, right? So I was like, okay. So at halftime, Mason Crosby is here with me at the Potawatomi Sportsbook, and we were doing like a little halftime show. We were talking about the draft pick, and we were talking about everything that was going on with the draft. We were talking about what was going on in the Bucks game, all that stuff. So I go to everybody here at the sportsbook. I was like, hey, man, all I know is I wanted one thing before this game, and I still want one thing, and that is I want somebody to put Halliburton on his butt at some point. Everybody started cheering in the sportsbook, Charlie. Everybody started cheering. Like, exactly what everybody wanted was to see Halliburton be put on his backside. But unless I missed it, because I was kind of preoccupied out here at the Potawatomi Sportsbook, I don't believe anybody really hard followed Halliburton this whole game, did they?
No, not really. But the fan base, you could hear in the crowd how much they were just booing him every time he touched the ball. Even though it wasn't physical, you could feel the energy not only from the fans but from the team too, that they were playing with a different kind of anger in this one than they have the previous two games.
I uh, I was trying to think to myself, like, how many people that were from Wisconsin have ever felt the wrath of fans from their own state like him? The only other one I can think of is Tyler Herro. Like, is there somebody else that grew up here, played high school ball in the state, that was kind of a villain by everybody from the state that they were from? I couldn't think of anybody other than Tyler Herro.
Not that I can think of. Most guys that are from Wisconsin and everybody seems to love, and usually they embrace Wisconsin still after they leave the state.
Yeah, I was amazed by that for sure. All right, here comes the pick. Oh, look at that. Jerry Kramer is going to...
That's cool.
Looks like he is up there, and he is going to make the pick. Yeah, he's got the microphone. I think it's going to be Jerry Kramer. I don't know. We'll find out. So 117-101. And this game really was all about Gary Trent, right? 34 minutes, 11 of 16 from the field, 9 of 12 from three-point range, 37 points, and 3 rebounds. Now, yes, Giannis had 37 and 12 and 6 assists, 14 of 19 from the field. But if we're being honest, when you see that, don't you just say, well, yeah, it's Giannis. That's what he should do. But when you see Gary Trent go for 37, you go, holy cow. Last game when we were doing this show, the Green Bay Packers just took Savion Williams, wide receiver from TCU. Savion Williams, 6'3", almost 6'4", 222, ran a 4.4 40. They took another wide receiver. They took another wide receiver. Didn't I talk about that this afternoon?
Yes, I did. But not in that fashion.
Not Higgins, but they took another wide receiver. I talked about the offensive tackle. They took one in the second round. I talked about adding another wide receiver possibly to go along with Golden and Jaden Reed. In my mind, I think there's a very realistic chance they move on from Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs. And now you got a tall dude like Watson to go out there and play with Golden and Jaden Reed. That may be your starting three going forward. Just saying. We'll see.
Savion Williams has a fourth-round grade in the draft guide here. Savion is a dynamic playmaker who did everything but water the grass at TCU. In the right system with the right coach, Williams could be a weapon that defenses fear at the NFL level. Williams is a big play waiting to happen, electric in the open field with the ability to take the ball the distance whenever it's in his hands. His contested catchability is among the best in this year's draft class.
Oh, man, come on.
Weaknesses, Williams is a much better ball carrier than he is a wide receiver at the moment. He lacks route detail, and he has always relied on being the best athlete on the field, playing as if that will be enough.
Okay, well, he's not going to be the best player on the field, I don't think, at the NFL level, but that is, I love that
he's
pick.
He's a 6'4", 222.
Yes.
Big.
Yes. I'm telling you, man, they got two really good wide receivers. They got a beast of a left tackle at 6'6", 340. I mean, my God, 336, whatever they list him at. I love this draft, and clearly they love their corners more than I do, but either way, I absolutely love this draft, and we're also learning they love Lucas Van Ness more than the rest of us because they haven't drafted a pass rusher. All right, back to the Milwaukee basketball postgame show. Sorry for that Packers timeout. 117-101, Bucks over the Pacers. Is this sustainable for Game 4 when you get ready to play Game 4 coming up here on Sunday night? Remember, that's an 8:30 tip, so we'll be on late night coming up on Sunday night. Is this sustainable? How excited are you, Bucks fans, about that victory? Nicolay Law Office, fan talk and text line, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. You can also tweet us at TheFanMilwaukee as well. And I'm anxious, really anxious, to see how many positive reactions we're going to get today and how many people that are being negative that we're going to get today. So, for example, when we talk about this Bucks team, during the game, my buddy, I'm not going to say who it is, if he calls in, we'll bring it up. I get a Dame destroyed the franchise. Imagine a superstar with just 2 points. I was like, come on. He's like, ignore it. Serious superstar with 2 points. You can't be serious. That's embarrassing. Okay? So during the game, while the game was going on, he was all over Lillard. Now, Lillard ended up with 7 points, 2 of 12 from the field, 1 of 8 from 3, 3 boards, 5 assists. But when you talk about is it sustainable, can you win game 4 like this? Well, the answer is no, because you can't expect Gary Trent to score 37 points again. But having said that, can you expect Damian Lillard to only score 7 in the next game? Like, I think the odds are much better that Lillard gets a breakout game here in Game 4 Sunday night, and maybe that's how they win Sunday night, because Lillard drops 30 Sunday night to go along with Giannis's big game, and you feel good. I think that's how you kind of balance Gary Trent, because you're probably not going to get another performance like that from Gary Trent. I'll tell you something else that stands out to me, Charlie.
What's that?
Brooke Lopez played 15 minutes. That is a major thing right there. That is Doc Rivers saying you are not a fit for this series. Now, part of the reason is, and I think he could have played more had he hit a 3, right? But he couldn't hit a 3. It was 0 of 3. So Doc decided we were going to go away from him. Now, Jericho Sims, he also played 15 minutes, but what ended up happening was they went with that Giannis and Bobby Portis thing a little bit more and played a little bit more small ball, Charlie, and I think that helped to unlock some things.
It definitely worked on the defensive end a little bit to take Indiana out of their rhythm earlier in the game, which is something that I've been talking about. You have to kind of knock them out of that momentum early on in order to stay in a game with them. And when you have Bobby Portis out there, although he didn't play well offensively in the first half of this game, he played with a different kind of energy that you just weren't getting from Brook Lopez. He was out there moving around, and then when Jericho Sims was getting minutes instead of Brook Lopez as well, he was playing with a new kind of energy. He has 8 rebounds in this game. He is out there switching between guys on the perimeter. These are all things that you're not getting out of Brook Lopez that help slow down a team like Indiana and gets them out of that rhythm that they are so known for.
You know, the other part about this, too, I think, when we talk about this Bucks basketball team after a win is just this. They needed this. And I'm not going to say that this is going to lead to them winning the series. I'm not going to say this is going to lead to them, you know, winning the next, you know, four, next three after this one to go 4 in a row. And all of a sudden it's Bucks in 6 and everybody says for the culture. And Brandon Jennings has his shirt off as they win game 6 at Fiserv Forum. And he's going nuts. I'm not saying any of that's necessarily going to happen. They needed this really just to get some of the heat off of their back. Because they've been under attack, not only from local media, which, again, they've been in Indiana, so I'm sure they could care less, but not only from the local media, but also from the national media, and I'm sure there was some frustrations inside that locker room as far as how badly they played the last 2 games. I mean, they got on a little bit of a run towards the end of that last game, which to me didn't mean much at that point because I felt like we were being toyed with by the Pacers for the most of the part of that game, but to come out here tonight, and really, it was nip and tuck for most part of it, and going into the half, their defense slipped up a little bit, Pacers pulled away a little bit, but then once the Bucks got that control back and started to pull away, at about the 3.5-minute mark of the fourth quarter, I went out in a timeout, and I said, okay, everybody that's here at the Potawatomi Sports, because we were doing the event with Mason Crosby, I was like, all right, who here thinks this game is over? And man, there was a smattering of applause, probably, is what we had. But at the end of the day, that was it. It wasn't like, you know, everybody started cheering and standing up and losing their mind. That wasn't what was happening. There was still people here that did not believe that they could finish that game at the 3.5-minute mark, Charlie.
And that's pretty surprising considering the veteranship on this team, but at the same time, those first 2 games.
Wait. You made up a new word. I don't think that's a word.
Veteranship?
Is that a word? I don't think veteranship is a word. No,
I'm looking it up now.
I don't think veteranship is a word. I think you made that up. No, Luis here at Potawatomi is in here with me, and he's shaking his head. No, that is not a word. No, well, I don't think that's a word.
There's things online that say it is, but I'll leave it at that.
It is? What is the definition of veteranship?
It's for veterans, like military veterans.
It's for
it doesn't really work in this situation.
Okay, word, but it doesn't work in what you're saying. Okay, good. I'm glad we clarified that. Go ahead.
But the age and wisdom on this team should mean that going against a young team like the Pacers should normally in other series lead to you winning more dramatically, but the past two games have led you to believe that this team can't play for an entire basketball game. What we saw tonight, though, is that they can. And they've done that throughout the season, which is why it's been so frustrating throughout these first two games, the fact that they haven't been able to get something going for a prolonged period, and because the Pacers have been able to do so. I think multiple callers said it last postgame to kind of take us off the edge there. They were saying that the Pacers at one point were going to slow down a little bit, and all the Bucks needed to do was stay calm and do the same thing that they've been doing. And they were right. When you watch this game, you saw those moments where the Pacers kind of fell apart, but the Bucks just kept doing what they had been doing, and that's what they need to continue to do throughout this series and the rest of the postseason.
When you are the Milwaukee Bucks and the idea of championship or bust disappeared during the course of the season, the idea of 50 wins disappeared during the course of the season when you realize that wasn't going to be possible, you have been booted out in the first round for the last several years in a row, mainly because Giannis hasn't been healthy. Now Giannis is healthy. There still are no expectations because then Damian Lillard has a blood clot. So it's like, well, it's going to be over anyhow, more than likely. Even if they get through Indiana, they're not going through probably Cleveland and Boston without Lillard and Giannis. Then Lillard makes a miraculous recovery. In 3 weeks, he shows back up and says, okay, I can play. Completely gassed in 37 minutes after the last game. Tonight, he plays 32 minutes and is just broke as a joke trying to score the basketball in this one. 7 points, 3 boards, 5 assists. And yet, Charlie, they win this basketball game. You had nothing from Brook Lopez. Kyle Kuzma delivered 9 points in 21 minutes, 3 boards, 2 assists. So that's kind of typical, I guess, for the most part. You wasted Bobby Portis' best game in the series, probably in game two. This game, he comes back with 10 points and 8 boards, 5 of 13, 0 of 4 from 3. Those aren't great. Do you want to know what irritated me the most about Bobby Portis?
What's that?
Man, it was like the man had butterfingers or something. He was losing the ball all over the place in the second half of the game. Ball going through his hands, ball getting away from him, ball getting knocked out of his hands. Like, he could not hold on to that basketball without turning it over, it felt like.
No, but again, when he was playing with the type of energy he was and the rest of the guys were feeding off of that, it felt like nobody else was really in that same boat. Yes, Giannis has 5 turnovers in this game, but you're looking at guys like Damian Lillard only has 1 turnover. Gary Trent Jr. plays a majority of this game as the best player and has 0 turnovers as well. While Bobby Portis isn't playing his best game, people are feeding off of him still, and you saw it at the end of the game when they were giving the whole team a round of applause as they walked off the court, and Bobby Portis got the biggest round of applause. He gets the fans going, gets the team going.
He does.
Yes, you have the turnovers, but you have to live with that when it means so much more beyond what he's doing on the court to the team.
He is Charlie Hughes and Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. The Milwaukee Bucks come up victorious. We want to hear from you. Charlie, are we going to get calls after a Bucks win tonight?
The same way
we do after when a Bucks lose a basketball game. Because the Packers are done. They made their last pick. They took a wide receiver from TCU, 6'4", 4'4", 40. I would assume he's the eventual replacement for Watson. And then you have Golden, who's going to be the other starter. Reed will be the slot, and there's your new starting three probably going forward. I wouldn't be surprised if both of these rookies start in week one, Charlie. Would not be surprised.
That would be pretty cool. I'd be pretty
excited.
And
Romeo Dobbs may not show up to another game. But I'm just telling you, they both may start.
I mean, if you're not going to re-sign them, that's the reason you draft those two guys. If we do head over to the text line, no calls yet. We do have one text, 414-677-1250, to get onto the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and text line. This is from Q on the north side. He says, glad your draft predictions are going well because your Bucks takes are blank. Go Bucks.
They want a game. Shut up,
Go
Q.
Go Bucks. Fire Doc Horst and owners will sell 2 days before the owners extend Horst.
Yes, what a stupid move that was, Q, for the record. Listen to me. One game doesn't change anything that we talked about at all. Not a single thing, Q. I understand you're all excited because they won a game and they're not going to get swept. And that's fine, and you can be excited. I'm excited too. I'm glad they're not going to get swept. But they still have to put together three more wins here in order to win this series. Will they? Hopefully. Hopefully somebody different can get out with Giannis every night, because there hasn't been consistency with anybody on this roster outside of Giannis through three games right now. Now, will Indiana shoot like they shot tonight as well going forward? The Bucks shot 47%. 47%. Indiana shot 43%. Indiana from three, 13 of 41, 31.7%. The Bucks, 36.6%, 15 of 41. I always talk about winning the rebound battle. The Bucks win the rebound battle 48 to 40 in this game that they win 117 to 101. Furthermore, let's talk about fast break points. 15-14, Indiana wins that. As far as I'm concerned, that's a win for the Milwaukee Bucks. Just keep it close. Just don't let it be like game one. Points in the paint. Bucks win that 40-34. That's also a good thing, too, looking at this. Turnovers, I said before, if you're around 12, 10 to 12, I'm pretty okay. 14 for the Pacers, 13 for the Milwaukee Bucks. Points off of turnovers, the Bucks got 22 points off of 14 turnovers off the Pacers. The Pacers got only 13 points off of 13 turnovers. That's a 9-point difference. That's a big number to look at this point. And then the free throw line's the other part of it. 22 free throw attempts to only 13 for Indiana. Eight more makes for the Bucks, also a big factor. And if we're being honest, I don't think Indiana can keep up with Milwaukee at the free throw line as far as attempts. When you have Giannis and you don't have a superstar on your team, and they don't have a superstar on their team, it's going to be very tough. Marshall, Whitefish Bay, you're up first here on the Milwaukee Basketball Postgame Show, presented by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. What's going on, Marshall?
Well, good evening, Sparky. It's good talking to you. It's been a while.
Yeah, what's up?
I'm doing good. I had some, at the end of the fall last year, I had some health issues that crept in, but I'm doing good. I'm going to be getting checked up here over the next month. But I got through it okay. It was a little scary for a while, but I'm all doing
good. Glad to hear that.
And speaking of old, how about Jerry Kramer there? That guy is just an ageless wonder there. You know, I'll just say that.
Yep.
But it was great. I listened to the radio tonight. The second half was just tremendous, guys. Trent was incredible. And as you might recall, I am a North Carolina alum. I'm having to like these Dukies that have played for us. But he was tremendous tonight. And, you know, I agree with you. We're not going to get that out of him every night. Obviously, it was incredible. He and Giannis were just off the charts tonight. And you just knew that basket seemed like as wide as the Atlantic Ocean. And I'll tell you what, you're right, Sparky. I think we'll get more out of Lillard as this thing moves along. I think Sunday is going to be a great game, and I felt they would win tonight. I know the first two, it was frustrating, but you know, nobody's won on the road, and Doc Rivers has said that. Others have said it. It doesn't begin till somebody wins on the road. We got to prevent that on Sunday. I think it's going to be a very, very good game, but I think that this is the tricky one. If they can win this one, get ready for a great series. I thought this thing would go seven, guys. So, you know, let's hope we win Sunday. Sunday's the key, but we got to celebrate tonight a little bit. It was something to behold in that second half.
Marshall, are we going to be able to make it through an 8:30 tip time on Sunday night in Milwaukee? Like, isn't that the most ridiculous thing in the world that we're tipping at 8:30 on Sunday night?
I think so too. I you know, I'm 64 years old, guys, and a lot of the changes going on in sports, that's another subject for another day, just drive me crazy. I mean, for goodness sakes, I don't expect these days to ever return, but I go back to the time when you got your sports done before dinner time, guys.
Oh, I mean, look at you. Yeah.
It's incredible. It's just so these platforms are a blessing and a curse because we have so many platforms. You know, it's TV, it's streaming, it's everything now. And I'll tell you, it's tough, but it just comes with a territory. You just have to live with it. But I agree with you. It on a Sunday night, that a lot of this stuff turns my stomach. But you know what? It is what it is. And hopefully late at night on Sunday, we'll be able to celebrate a 2-2.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so, Marshall. If you're up, call in, no doubt about it. Marshall, thanks for tuning in, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. Don't be a stranger. There he is, Marshall Whitefish Bay. Long, long time Sports Talk Radio listener here in the beautiful city of Milwaukee. Let's go to Joey driving on Highway 18. You're next on the Milwaukee Basketball Postgame Show here on The Fan with me, Steve Sparky Fiverr. What's up, Joey?
Hey, Sparky, how's it going?
Good, man, good. At Potawatomi Sportsbook, I like what the Packers are doing in the draft. Bucks get a big win. I can't do much about the Brewers fiasco tonight, but other than that, it's been good.
I didn't even really see what the Packers did tonight, but that's great.
The Packers, I'll tell you what the Packers did. They took Belton, a 6'6", 336 left-pound tackle from North Carolina State in the second round, and they took a 6'4", 4'4 speed wide receiver from TCU in the third round.
Gutekin seems to be shifting the offensive line. Are we going a little more heavy body power run scheme with Jacobs, you think?
Abso-freaking-lutely. It's going to be, I think what's going to happen is quickly, because I don't want to get completely diverted like I did earlier, is I think he is going to be left tackle or right tackle. Morgan will be the other. Jenkins will be gone after this year. They'll save like $18 million, and Tom will end up playing center.
I could definitely see that. They need to save cap space somewhere with Love's contract kicking in pretty soon.
Next year. Not this year, but the following year. Yep.
All right, back to the Bucs. Doc Rivers actually made a change. That's pretty good for him. I did not expect Torian Prince to get completely benched, which was, in my eyes, great. That's exactly what they needed to do. One thing is I wish Ryan Rollins would get a little more run, especially when Kevin Porter Jr. has not been anything great pretty much the whole series.
Agreed. I totally agree. I swear to God, I want him to tell me why Rollins isn't playing. And he avoided it last game. We played the presser at the end of the last postgame show. Eric Name, literally from The Athletic, the Bucks speed writer, said, hey, man, in game one, you know, Rollins defended Halliburton really well and shut him down in the first quarter. And tonight you guys really struggled defending him. You know, can you tell us what happened? Meaning, why didn't Ryan Rollins play? Was pretty much what Name was saying. He answered the whole question, never mentioned Ryan Rollins' name one time. Not once. So I figured, well, okay, tonight maybe we're going to see Rollins and Lillard in the backcourt. Rollins will take Halliburton. Lillard takes whoever else is on the floor besides Halliburton. And let's see how that looks. And to my surprise, that did not happen, but he did sit Prince, which, like you said, is a step in the right direction. And Lopez only played 15 minutes.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that either until I looked at the box score. I didn't hear his name much in the second half. But, yeah, Brook Lopez, unfortunately too slow, can't switch on to anyone, and that's the only way is to keep these guys in front of you.
Absolutely right. Thanks for the call, man. Don't be a stranger Sunday night. All right, and be safe on Highway 18. I think that's the first time I've ever talked to anybody that told me what highway they were on while they were driving, Charlie.
Right. I know. I was kind of surprised by that. It took me off guard a little bit.
Who needs GPS? Just find out where your husband or wife are. Just listen to our show. We'll tell you exactly what road they're on, and we'll be all good. Take a quick time out. It is the Milwaukee Basketball Postgame Show. Trav and Brown here. You'll lead things off coming up next. Bucks win 117-101. Want to hear from you. We always call and complain when they're bad. Let's talk about what's good. Let's give Doc Rivers some credit for making adjustments. Let's talk about all the good stuff as now we get ready for a game four where the Bucks will have a chance to even the series possibly on Sunday night, a late, late night game, 8:30 tip. And we'll be on right after that, no doubt. So take a quick time out, come back, Milwaukee Basketball Postgame Show. Powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, where we are broadcasting live here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Back, it's Milwaukee Basketball Postgame Show, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. And I'm telling you, the crowds at Lambeau Field for this draft, for round one, and then rounds two and three as well, truly amazing. Should be interesting to see what rounds four through seven look like coming up tomorrow during the day. Bucks win 117 to 101. Pacers now lead the series 2-1. Game 4 Sunday night, 8:30 tip. We'll be on immediately following that one right here on The Fan. And we are broadcasting live here at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. If you missed out and coming down here and checking out Mason Crosby and myself doing our event tonight, you missed out. That's all I'll tell you, you missed out. A lot of fun was had, a lot of prizes were given out, bunch of autograph cards were given out that were signed by Mason Crosby. He was walking around the crowd talking to everybody with his wireless mic. Just had an absolute blast, great food, great drinks, all of that, and had a really good time. So next time we do this, and I'm sure there'll be a next time, make sure you reserve those seats ahead of time. Make sure you are here at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. It was a lot of fun for certain. All right, let's go. Let's get some more of your reaction to what we saw tonight from the Milwaukee Bucks. We're going to hear from Doc Rivers, too. I want some Gary Trent highlights, Charlie. We haven't had any highlights yet. I want some Gary Trent love. Can you give me some Gary Trent love for after he scores 37 tonight and was just the guy?
I got you, Sparky.
Yeah, but, you know, he's made some plays. He's tried to take a couple offensive fouls. He's blocked a couple of shots for the third time in his career. Nice job, DT. Love the passing lane. Pay it off for him.
Gary Trent Jr. with four steals. Gary Trent Jr.
Pay it
has
off.
Given the Bucks new hope and new life tonight. He's been everything.
Can I also point something else out to y'all? Lisa Byington in the postseason has been fire. I'm telling you, and I'm not, she's fine in the regular season. She's good, and she's, you know, one of the best play-by-play people in the country, regardless of what sport she's doing and all of that. So that's, I'm not knocking Lisa Byington. I'm just telling you, like, when she gets going here with Marcus and they're going in sync and doing their thing and Marcus is dropping his one-liners and she's all pumped up and excited, these highlight calls have been something else here lately, Charlie.
Oh, they've been awesome. She was great. I was actually watching for the first half the ESPN version of the game, taking highlights from that. I was like, these guys just aren't getting going enough. And then I switch over to the FanDuel Sports Network and it's just completely different. They're electric. Lisa Byington is electric. Marcus Johnson giving some of the best commentary in the game. It's electric. One of the best crews in basketball.
All right, so you got all kinds of different ways you can get on board, right? Nicolay Law Fan Talking Text Line, 414-677-1250. You could send in a recorded voice message and sound off with your Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Just make sure you get to the station, 157 The Fan. And then you just record it right on your phone and send it in. Charlie gets it. We'll play him back here on the post-game show. We're playing back on the daily shows if you do it over the weekend or during the week itself. Or social media, right? Going by The Fan Milwaukee on Facebook and Twitter. Trav and Brown there, you're next here on The Fan. What's up, Trav?
How you doing, bud?
Doing well. Talking about a Bucks victory.
I can't cuss or nothing, right? It's pretty late, but
Did he cuss?
Yeah, we lost him there.
No, did we lose him or did he cuss?
He cussed.
And then you dropped it?
I dropped him, yeah.
Trav, buddy, pal. I mean, you've had a nice streak. You've went like 2 or 3 weeks without swearing, so that's pretty good. And I knew we were in trouble when I saw 10 o'clock at night and Trav was calling in. Like, that's always kind of hit or miss, Charlie. It's kind of hit or miss with Trav.
A little bit.
He doesn't mean to swear. He really doesn't. But, you know, when you talk, you know, dealing with me, I tend to swear a lot, too, off the air. So you kind of got to be careful at this point with him. All right, let's talk more about this basketball game tonight and things that stood out. I want your analysis on this, Charlie, because my guy Luis here at Pottawatomie was none too happy with KPJ there in the second half and the job he was doing. Your thoughts on Kevin Porter Jr. tonight and what he looked like. And we had a caller already bring up the fact that he rather would have seen Rollins in there once you realized Kevin Porter Jr. wasn't playing well. What say you? And I hope I didn't lose Charlie. He may be screening a call right now. That's okay.
Trav was apologizing.
Well, that's nice. I'm glad you called back to apologize, Trav, for swearing. All right, Charlie, would you rather have seen Rollins than Kevin Porter Jr. there in the second half once you realized maybe Porter wasn't on his best game tonight? 0 of 5, 1 point, 4 board, 6 assists for Kevin Porter Jr. tonight?
Maybe a little bit, but Ryan Rollins just hasn't played in the first couple of games of the series. You're going to take him into a game where he has to warm up a little bit. I don't know if I want to do that in a game that matters so much like this, where you have to turn the tides like that.
That is an interesting point. My point to this would be, I like Kevin Porter Jr. when you need some instant offense, because he can give you 10 like that, like boom, 3 minutes, he gives you 10 points, and then he's got the crowd going, he's juice, team's juice, he's doing his little wiggle wiggle, Giannis is smiling, all of that's going on. But Kevin Porter Jr., though, isn't hitting his shot defensively. If he's not getting deflections, he's not helping you enough to maybe justify him still being on the floor. And it's almost similar to what we're talking about with Brook Lopez, right? Because in this series, he definitely is slow-footed, right? And definitely looked like he doesn't fit in the series. So when he goes 0-of-3 from three, Doc Rivers at that point says, I've seen enough, right? If you're not going to be able to stretch the floor and hit the three, then you're not going to play. And he pulls him out. And you saw more Giannis, Portis, and guards out there at that time. Again, more credit to Doc Rivers. Y'all really are something else. When they lose, y'all call up, rip Doc, blame Doc, all this other stuff. When Doc makes a decision to make some adjustments that work, not playing Taurean Prince, playing Brook Lopez less minutes, deciding on other things in this game, nothing. Crickets. I'm going to call him up and say, hey, Doc Rivers did a nice job making a couple of adjustments there. But he did. He did make a couple of nice adjustments. He does deserve credit. Did you say Q is on the hold?
Yes, we got Q on the north side here on the Nikolai Law Fan Talking Text Line.
Hey, better watch that dump button with him, too, because me and him are going to start yelling at each other. All right, go ahead, Q.
I mean, you're going to maybe yell at me. I've got nothing to yell about.
Come on, then. What do you got? What you need?
Never a doubt. Doc Rivers made the adjustments. Never a doubt. Never a doubt.
Q, I will say this, Q. When you say that, I firmly believe that you never doubted it, because you were so mad at me because I was being negative and talking about, hey, man, look, if they lose this series, there's a chance that they may blow this thing up and clean house and start this thing over. Then what happened? Then they extended John Horst, to which I have stated on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's in the afternoon, which, by the way, when the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's, so get your tail end over to Wendy's tonight and tomorrow, get yourself a free small Frosty, and take advantage of that. Back to what I was saying. As I've stated on the afternoon show, if they extended John Horst because they are going to continue to play old guys and try and make a run with a bunch of old guys for the next 2 to 3 years, and he's going to be the one that's going to possibly make a move to get another star in here or trade Lillard for a different star and see if that works better than Lillard or whatever, fine, I'm in, I'm cool. However, if they sign Horst to an extension and then later this year or in the summertime decide, we're going to kind of blow this thing up, we're going to get a bunch of draft picks, and we're going to rebuild this thing with draft picks and young guys around Giannis, I have little to no faith that it will be successful with him as general manager. So depending on which way they go will depend on if I think this is a good move or a bad move. I tend to think it's going to be the first option. They're going to try and extend this as long as possible with a bunch of vets around Giannis and not worry about playing young guys, even though they've been talking about playing young guys for the last couple of years, and it's failed miserably.
Horst was part of the team that drafted Giannis, and he's extended him twice. He brought a championship. He shifted an aging roster. This is not an old team anymore. There's several young players that were added to this roster during the season when we were in a second apron team. He did remarkable things at the trade deadline.
Remarkable. Kuzma sucks.
Hold on, sir. And next offseason, we have even more financial flexibility because Kyle Kuzma has a declining contract and we're out of the second apron. I'm the minimum contract guys that he has brought in the last 2 years are better than like a lot of other teams even hope to. And he's doing all of that in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
with one of the top three players in the NBA. Let's settle down on him doing it in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He's not doing this with Michael Redd. He's doing this with Giannis as the lead dog here. Let's not act like he doesn't have a superstar, one of the greatest players in the game today.
100% the best GM in this state that is active by far.
But there's something completely that you're leaving out. He's only able to do this because he has owners that are willing to spend a boatload of money. No other GM has that.
I mean, so now it's Mark Antanasio's fault?
Yes.
Are you blaming the city of Green Bay?
I'm blaming Mark Antanasio. Q, absolutely, it's Mark Antanasio. Mark Antanasio, as I've stated before, and I will state for the 5 millionth time, Mark Antanasio does not have money to play the way the Dodgers and everybody else does. If Mark Antanasio bought out some of these minority owners and went to, not Jimmy Haslam, but went and found another billionaire guy like Ashiba and made him part owner from the Suns or Cuban or whoever and injected some new big money into this and got a boost towards payroll, then, okay, we can talk about it. He can't compete. If you look at his wealth compared to everybody else in baseball, it's not high up the food scale. These dudes in Milwaukee are spending like a couple hundred million in luxury tax money. If Herb Cole was still alive and had this team, there is zero chance we would be in this ball game, and John Horst would not have won a championship, and John Horst never would have continued to be the general manager because he wouldn't have had the same luxury of what he gets to play with financially versus what he would have had Herb Cole still been the owner of this team. So, yes, I'm going to credit Bucks ownership more than I am the GM. Does Horst get credit? Absolutely. He gets credit for a holiday. That was a great deal. He gets credit for Lillard. Even though some of you hate Lillard, I would do that deal every day. So he gets credit for that, even though it didn't work out. Does he get credit for Gary Trent and some of these guys?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Gary Trent Jr.
But what we're talking about
tonight.
Yes, but
nine
we're talking,
3 pointers.
Listen
37
to me.
Points.
Yes, I
making
said
$2.5 million.
Correct.
Dollars.
Right.
John
but my
Horst
point
deserved
is
the extension.
What my point is, and I've stated before and I'll state again to you, if they're going to continue to try and sign these vets and old guys to play around Giannis, he's your guy. But if
Gary
it's
Trent Jr.
we want to trade
he's
Lillard,
not even 28 years old.
If we want to trade Lillard and we want to get picks and try and get some younger guys around Giannis, then he's not your guy because he hasn't done much in the draft at all other than DiVincenzo, who then eventually left. And if Gary Trent, and to that point about Gary Trent, I was shocked when he signed with Milwaukee for no money. I thought he was going to get significant money. There was no way the Bucks could afford him. So clearly the rest of the NBA didn't value Gary Trent that much. And that's how Milwaukee ended up with him, which is a great, great deal for Milwaukee. John Horst deserves a ton of credit. And again, he came here to play. He came here to play with Giannis, and he had Lillard and all of that. What were you saying?
I said, Andy found AJ Green. Andy found Kevin Porter Jr.
Well, he found Kevin Porter Jr. Again, we're going to find out about this Kevin Porter Jr.
And he found Sims.
And he found Kuzma.
He found Kuzma out of necessity.
And Jericho Sims. I don't know what you think of Jericho Sims.
Wouldn't even be playing.
Chris Middleton, I would take Chris Middleton. This is funny that you bring this up. We were talking about this here at Potawatomi Sportsbook. Every person we talked to said they would rather have Middleton than Kuzma right now. Like, every single person down here said the same thing. Kuzma is fine. That's great. Kuzma is horrible. I don't know how you can even defend this. How can you even defend this?
Because I'm excited for next summer when we're under the second apron.
Well, if you were an owner, this would be great. I'm not an owner. I just want to win another championship. You can talk about second aprons and being under and all this other stuff. Thanks for the call. I'm just not. I can't do it, Charlie. I can't. God bless them. Like, they should hire Q to do media relations for them and so forth, because for a couple of different reasons. They haven't gotten out of the first round in how many years, right? It's been a while. Then you go, well, they're younger. Okay, well, who is still going to be here next year as they're younger? Kevin Porter Jr., I believe, is going to be a free agent. They're going to have to make a decision there. Brooke Lopez also going to be a free agent. So do they move on from Brooke Lopez? And if you tell me Jericho Sims is going to start next year, I'm going to tell you you're screwed because he's got no offensive skills whatsoever, none, other than dunking the basketball. He's not a good enough shot blocker to replace Brooke Lopez either. He's better in transition. He can run faster, right? He's younger, so there are positives. But he's nothing more than a bench guy for a few minutes tonight at this point. He's not going to be a starter in the NBA next year. Will he be in 5 years if he ever develops an offensive game? Maybe. But I don't see that as a long-term answer. Kyle Kuzma is still going to be Kyle Kuzma next year, regardless of where they are with the tax apron and everything else. Lillard's going to be a year older too. And we still don't know what happens this summer, depending on what happens here in the postseason. Now, maybe they've already decided, you know what? If we lose to the Pacers, we're still bringing it all back, and we're going to justify it again next year and try this all over again. I just don't know where the excitement level of Bucks fans are going to be, outside of Q, if you lose to the Pacers in the first round with Giannis and Lillard playing, how they're going to react to pretty much trying to run it back again, Charlie.
Well, I think Q's big point here is that it's not going to be run back the same exact way, and he trusts John Horst to find the players to fill in those roles because they're going to be under that second apron, because they're going to have a little bit more freedom and free agency in the trade market, that it'll help them out kind of regain that confidence they built with this team prior to the Damian Lillard trade. I think at this point, most people are in agreement that the Dame trade hasn't worked out to the degree that they thought it would. He's played really well. He's been awesome since he's been in Milwaukee. I'm glad he became a Milwaukee Buck. At the same time, this team may not win a championship this year. And if that is the case, then it might be better to move on from him and get back under that apron in order to kind of rebuild back in a different image.
Rebuild.
Yeah.
Again, like I said before, if we're rebuilding with John Horst, I'm out. Not interested. If you're replacing vets with vets, old guys with old guys, whatever, however you want to deem it, then okay, then sure, then I'm fine. Like, he's proven that he can replace role players with role players. The question is, though, when you haven't won 50 games either of the last 2 years with Giannis and Damian Lillard, what makes anybody think that next year will be any different going ahead? Because, again, both of those guys are getting a year older, right? They're not getting younger. They're your two best players. You aren't even close to having a third star at this point. And that's why tonight when Gary Trent Jr. gets 37, you're like, heck yeah, man. Let's go. Let's go, Gary Trent Jr. And then you go, who's that guy in the next game on Sunday night? Who gets those points on Sunday night? And my immediate response is, Damian Lillard's got to be that guy on Sunday night. You can love Dari Bird and everything else. I'm not going to look at Dari Bird, AJ Green, and go, he'll get us 30 on Sunday. Maybe he will, but I'm not going to go in that expectation thinking he will. Now, Kyle Kuzma has shown over the course of his career that he can drop a 30-point game from time to time. So that would be a really pleasant surprise if you can get a 30-point game out of him to go with Giannis doing his usual studly stuff on the floor. Okay, maybe you can make up with it that way. But when you had Middleton getting you 20, Giannis doing his thing, and then Drew Holiday getting you 15 to 20 or whatever it was, even though it was semi-inconsistent, you were in a really good position. Now you've got two really top-end guys, more so than you had before. The problem is, though, you don't have a third guy with that consistency level that you had with Middleton when you were making that run down the stretch there for the championship, Charlie.
No, you didn't have anybody close to that throughout the whole second half of the season here. Even when you had Milton, there was the glimpses of him playing well enough to kind of still be in that eye. But right now, you're not seeing the consistency enough. If Gary Trent Jr. can do this for two more games straight, that would be amazing, because that might be the most consistent run you've seen from one of these potential third options the Bucks have had all season long.
Bucks win 117-101 over the Indiana Pacers. If you want to call in, celebrate. If you want to talk about what me and Q just argued about in the segment, you can do that as well. Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Mike and Shorewood, you're next on the Milwaukee Basketball Postgame Show, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook, where we are broadcasting live right now. What's going on?
Hey, man, Sparky. Man, what a game tonight, man. Salute to Mr. Trent Jr. That was big time, man. What a pickup he's been. And I'm surprised that teams weren't falling on their thumbs to sign him. The dude's shown he's a hell of a player, and he could help a lot of these teams. And I'm just glad the Bucks were smart enough to add him to this club, because He's big time, man. I mean, we've been talking about Giannis is his usual terrific self, but who's going to be that guy that steps up? Kuzma's been inconsistent, even though they acquired him to replace Middleton's production. Dame's still working himself back into the lineup, coming off the block shot. So we were wondering, who would it be? And Trent Jr., Mr. Stepped Up tonight, he was just outstanding, man. I mean, if he can shoot like that, I'm hoping this is just not one-off. To out-shoot the Pacers team when basically Dame was ineffective, even though he did play excellent defense with his offense was off tonight. I thought he was outstanding on the defensive end, which he's not known for. So you do all the little things when your shot's not falling, and I hope we see more of that from the supporting cast around Giannis. And they play like that, man. I think they can win. I expect them to win both home games. I just love the way the guys step up at home, and typically the role players play a lot better in their home courts. So we know how dangerous this Pacers offense is, and to hold them down like they did, second half, that's really impressive. So tip of the cap to them. We're expecting Dame is going to explode because we know how much he can't stand Haliburton. So I expect for him on Sunday night, that place in the Rockets Pfizer to him to hopefully get going. And Kuzma's going to bust out one of these games, and Trent, I think, is going to be effective. So we know the Pacers are going to look to take the stranglehold in game four, but I think the Bucks will have enough for them. So hold home court. That's what we talked about, and I expect Sunday night to them to come out and punch the Pacers in the mouth and even this bad boy up. But tip of the cap, man. That's the playoffs are not just about the stars. Your role players have to step up, and Trent Jr., I hope the other guys notice, hey, step up your game, guys. When one of the guys is off like Dame was tonight, you can contribute and be a big part of the win tonight. So love what I saw, and expect the same thing and a W on Sunday night. Thanks for the time.
You make an absolutely great point, Mike. Thanks for the call. You can go back to the Bulls, the Lakers with Robert Horry, wherever you want to go, right, where those role players are big reasons why teams win championships. Those guys that hit big shots where guys are doubling the stars and you kick out to a corner three and Robert Horry hits a big shot or Paxton hits a shot for the Bulls or Steve Kerr hits a shot for the Bulls or whatever. And Michael Jordan's out there and Scottie Pippen's out there and it's these other dudes that end up hitting big shots down the stretch and are big components of you winning a championship in the postseason or you winning a big playoff game in a playoff series. Those are the type of performances that you love. Those are the type of performances that you need if you're going to make a run in the postseason. So you're right. When you get a big night like this from Gary Trent Jr., it is huge for this organization going forward as far as, you know, what they can do. The issue might be who else is going to do this? Can they get a different role player to step up and have a game like that? Can Bobby Portis, who I think might have had his one big game in the series already in game two, can you get another big game out of him game four Sunday night? If you can, if he can drop 20 and 12, 22 and 14, something like that, to go along with what Giannis does, and then Lillard gets back to playing the way Lillard should, that might be enough to win game four. Now you're even up going back to Indiana for game five. And it's a brand new series at this point. But right now, the pressure is still on Milwaukee, not Indiana, because as they always say, series doesn't start till road team wins. So Milwaukee has to win on Sunday, in my mind, to have any chance of this. If they lose on Sunday, it's 3-1. It's going to be really difficult to expect them to win three games in a row, Charlie.
And that Sunday night game is going to be a hard one to win. You're not usually starting games at 8:30 in the Midwest.
Neither team is starting at 8:30.
That's really tough for both these teams. So I expect at least one of them or at least a couple players from each team to be a little bit out of it, a little not in rhythm here for this game. But at the same time, when that is happening, you also expect the stars to shine a little bit brighter. And the Bucks have two of the biggest stars in this series. That gives me a little bit of hope in a game like that.
All right, let's take a quick timeout. Come back on the other side. Let's hear from Doc Rivers. Bucks get the win 117-101 over the Indiana Pacers. Giannis 37, 12 and 6, 14 of 19 from the floor. Gary Trent Jr., the story of the night, though, 37 points, 11 of 16 from the field, 9 of 12 from 3. Take your calls, continue on, and hear from Doc Rivers. Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. It's Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Milwaukee Basketball Postgame Show, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook, where we are broadcasting live on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. You know, it's an interesting point, and we've talked about this before, as far as points in the paint, and transition defense, right? Those are two of the things that we've talked about in the past with this series between the Bucks and the Pacers. And tonight, the Bucks win points in the paint by, I think it was 8. And then transition points, Pacers won by like 1, but it was minimal from that aspect. So if you're a Bucks fan, you'll take losing transition by 1. You'll definitely take winning points in the paint. You won rebounds by about 7 or 8 as well. So from that perspective, Charlie, going into that next game, if you can do something similar, you would think you shoot the three ball better outside of Gary Trent. You'd think some of these other guys could go in that first half. They were brutal from three.
You would think they'd be able to do the boring things right. And I think that's how you beat a team like the Indiana Pacers. You beat them by going to the free throw line and hitting your free throws better than they do. You do it by getting more rebounds and being better on the offensive glass and having more energy in the rebounding game. You do it by getting those three passes before you take a shot. All things that the Bucks did really well tonight. Things that they haven't been doing really well prior to this. In the first two games when they were playing in Indiana, it felt too often like they were trying to match what the Pacers were doing.
Yeah.
And it kind of threw them off their game and allowed Indiana to take more shots and get into that rhythm that, like I said earlier, they're so known for. When you are doing the fundamental things right, you are going to slow the game down. And this is a team in the Pacers that do not want the game to slow down.
No, they don't. And the other part about it is they're a younger team that wants to win in transition with Rick Carlisle. Makes a lot of sense. Carlisle now gets to make his adjustment of what he saw against this Bucks defense tonight, and we'll see what he comes back with coming up on Sunday night. Doc made his adjustment, and thank God, because he didn't do anything after game one. So now he made his adjustment tonight with Torian Prince sitting, playing Brooke Lopez less, and so forth. Now Carlisle will punch back. Will Doc be able to make enough in-game adjustments to what Carlisle decides to do and still get the victory? Because there is going to be some coaching here in Game 4 where people are going to be able to point one way or the other about whether or not coaching helped to win or lose this next game, Charlie.
I think the coaching is the biggest key to all these games. We were talking about it in the first two. A lot of the things that happened on the court were a result of Doc not changing those lineups, of Doc not really helping with the defensive rotations. You saw him make those two simple changes in this game, and you saw how much more fluid the defense was and how much more aggressive and confident they were when they were trying to pick those passing lanes. And then you also saw when Gary Trent Jr. got put into that starting lineup, the ability for Bobby Portis to take more of a leadership role on that bench, even if he wasn't playing well. It helped him kind of take over and get those guys more energized and get guys like AJ Green, Derry Bird going, especially late in this game. I think these are little changes that you don't see that much of an effect, again, just straight up in the box score. But when you watch the game, you understand what they're doing for this team. Rick Carlisle is a good coach. He's going to make those adjustments. I don't think the Pacers have the same kind of talent to match those adjustments, though, and I think the Bucks have the ability to take this series over if the Pacers take a step back by making too many adjustments.
It is Milwaukee Basketball Postgame Show, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Again, if you've never been down here, you've got to come try it out. You're talking about not only all these different TVs. You can watch over 30 sporting events at one time. You got the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Kitchen as well. All day brunch. You got 48 beers on tap, a dozen different specialty cocktails. You got all kinds of different food options, right? Sandwiches, salads. They got wings, seven different types of wing sauces, homemade desserts and pastries here at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. So again, if you don't have a ticket to the game on Friday night, you're looking for somewhere fun to go watch it on a Sunday night, and you know, you're trying to get out of the house a little bit while the kids are sleeping and go watch the game, this is your place, man. Like, there'll be a bunch of people here with you, I'm sure, on Sunday night watching the game, and you'll have an absolute great time at that. When we talk about this Milwaukee Bucks team and what's next between, you know, now and Sunday, Doc Rivers, when he talked about Damian Lillard being gassed. This is the second time in two games where he's talked about him being gassed. 37 minutes in the first game, he said he just blew him out to see how it would look. Now he comes back this game, plays him 32, 5 minutes less, and he's talking about he's absolutely gassed. I talked about the fact that, hey man, he's going to come back and put up some points in this next game. Maybe I'm not as certain about that. Maybe the conditioning really is a thing, and maybe the conditioning is affecting the jump shot, Charlie.
The conditioning very much is a thing. And I also feel like a lot of people are relying on Damian Lillard to take over that playmaking role from Giannis. I think it's sometimes when you are given that type of responsibility that is so different from what you've been doing earlier in the season where they were kind of sharing that role, I think right now a lot of people are expecting him to kind of take that step back because he's recovering, because he's getting gassed. I think that's throwing him off a little bit too. Only taking 12 shots isn't very Damian Lillard-esque. You would like to see him in that 18-shot range. I think the more he takes shots, the more he'll get into it, but you have to allow him to take those shots.
Absolutely. And that is the thing as far as allowing him to take those shots. And I think if you're the Indiana Pacers, aren't you allowing him to probably take those shots coming up here Sunday night until he starts hitting a couple and showing that maybe he's returning to old form?
I would after this game. Again, 2-for-12 is not good. 1-for-8 is not good. If I was Tyrese Haliburton, I'd dare him to beat me. This has been the conversation the whole series that Damian Lillard is going to come out and whoop Tyrese Haliburton's butt, and that was going to be the whole case. Well, Damian Lillard hasn't done it. Tyrese Haliburton is going to dare him to do it.
That's exactly right. All right, take a quick time. I'll come back. Who did you say we're going to hear from here as we go inside the locker room for the Milwaukee Bucks?
We have Gary Trent Jr. and Damian Lillard talking.
Oh, no Giannis?
No Giannis.
How does Giannis not talk after this thing? It's a playoff game. Really?
I'll go back and scrub it, but I have for sure Gary Trent Jr. and Damian Lillard.
Yeah, that's just surprising. I haven't seen anything from Giannis on Twitter either, so I was just kind of surprised. I thought for sure he would talk. Maybe not. Either way, doesn't matter. I want to hear from Gary Trent for certain on that. So we'll come back. We'll hear from those guys who talked after a big Bucks victory here tonight. And again, a much-needed victory from a confidence perspective and to renew some optimism, I think, in that locker room that, yeah, we can beat this team like we did in the regular season. 117-101, Milwaukee basketball postgame show powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. It is Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Charlie Usen, as we broadcast from the Potawatomi Sportsbook. And don't forget, tomorrow morning, Wisconsin Sports Weekend from 9 to 11 here on The Fan. What does one Charlie Usen and one Jack Pembroke have in store for us tomorrow?
So we got a lot of fun. Jack came up with this new segment that we're going to try out on the show. We're going to be picking some games in a new, exciting way that he has a fun idea for. And then we also have a guest from the Big Three Basketball League, an owner of one of the teams, to talk about some controversy going on in the league and some big news with some of the new players coming to the league. It's going to be a lot of fun.
What games are we picking? Are we picking basketball games, baseball games? What are we picking?
So Jack has a plan for this. He hasn't really let me too in on it, but he says he has a really great idea for the segment. It's going to be 3 games. That's what he told me. It could
but
be.
But you don't know
sports.
What type of games, Charlie?
He has a surprise.
You're the co-host, man.
He
How
has
do you
a
not
surprise.
Know if
he wanted to surprise me.
Man, get out of here. There is no chance my co-host isn't telling me what sport I'm picking. You want to do a pick'em game.
That's what makes it
games.
More fun when you're no, surprised.
Man, I don't know. You're more brave than I am dealing with this. Bucks get the win, 117-101. We'll come back. We'll hear from Gary Trent Jr. here on The Fan. All right, so there is Gary Trent Jr. I like the idea of being physical, making Haliburton feel you and so forth. Do you realize, even after all of that, Haliburton almost still had a damn triple-double? You realize that?
That's pretty insane. I mean, Haliburton didn't really feel like he was that impactful throughout this game, but the fact that he still had a triple-double in the box score says that he was still there, still lurking, that maybe the defense wasn't as good as we thought it was, but still really great. Still a lot better than we saw in the last game.
Yes. Yeah, no absolute question about that. Darius Joshua from CBS 58... tweeted out that game five is 5 o'clock on Tuesday in Indiana.
All right. A normal time. I'll take that.
5 o'clock is a normal time to you?
It's better than 8:30.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's better than 8:30. No, there's no question it's better than 8:30. So 5 o'clock, that means y'all need to get off work a little bit early and get into position for game five, especially if the Bucks figure out a way to win Sunday night. Like, that is going to be such a big game. That series is tied at two apiece. And in case you missed it from earlier, the Magic beat the Celtics tonight. So that series
Orlando
now is Boston
Magic.
Leading 2-1. Magic with that one. What did you say?
The Orlando Magic song. You haven't heard it? Orlando Magic. Orlando Magic. They play it all the time, like after their wins.
You are such a Magic guy right now.
I love the Magic,
all
dude.
Year long. Before the season, Charlie was a Magic guy, and he's held true to it all year. I mean, he's a Bulls fan, so he's got to find somebody else to root for,
exactly.
too. So, yeah, I totally understand it. Timberwolves up on the Lakers by 2 right now. 10:50 to go in the fourth quarter there. Bucks did get the win tonight, 117-101. Which was an absolutely beautiful thing. Seeing some numbers here on the draft real quickly before we wrapped up. Adam Schefter said attendance today for rounds 2 and 3, 175,000 for a two-day total of 380,000 per a league official.
Wow, only 30,000 people missing from that first day. That's a lot better of a percentage than I was expecting out of this draft. That's really cool.
As I said earlier, there's no way that number was right. That 207,000 or whatever it was they reported yesterday, I can tell you for a fact, my thing never got scanned, and I can tell you for a fact that the people around me that went in with me didn't have their phone scanned either. So unless they were checking all the security machines, which I highly doubt, if they were going off security machines, then it's accurate. If they were going off that NFL app, there's no way. Because that was at 1:30 in the afternoon. They weren't scanning people. So that number was low if they were using their app, which I'm guessing they were, because I'm guessing, and again, I don't know the first thing about security machines, but I'm guessing that they did not go through and check all the security machines. Either way, still a good turnout, I think, if you're the Packers, getting 175,000 on day number two. But the other thing in the we missed it category, because this is just a lot of fun, RJ Young, who is college football on Fox analyst, okay, tweeted out at 10:17 this morning, they say Shedeur Sanders needs to be humble. No one tells Joe Burrow to be humble. No one tells Aaron Rodgers to be humble. Nobody told Tom Brady to be humble. So Sam, just a random person, responded this morning. Joe Burrow won the Heisman and a national championship. Rodgers stayed quiet until he won a Super Bowl. That's not true. Tom Brady had 3 rings before he even had respect from Bill Belichick. You're reaching so hard. Now, the new thing that I wanted to talk about was Will Blackman, former Packer cornerback, just quote tweeted that and said, oh, they definitely told young Aaron to be humble. Aaron Rodgers was about as cocky as they come coming out of California when he came into the National Football League. I'm telling you right now, I remember specifically an interview with Donald Driver on the Jim Rome TV show back then. And how did Rome phrase it? Something along the lines of, you know, you got this young Aaron Rodgers who you guys drafted and da-da-da-da-da or whatever. And Donald Driver was like, yeah, I'm not talking about him. This is about Brett Favre. This is Brett Favre's team, whatever else. And when Favre left, Rodgers literally would have to go and was literally having barbecues at his house trying to get these guys to buy into him and try to warm up and kind of hang with him and win guys over at that point. He really had issues from everything I heard back then when it was going on, kind of winning over those veterans. Like, that's just who he was, though. And so when you see Will Blackman tweet this, y'all can be haters on Will Blackman if you want, but Will Blackman is telling you the truth. They definitely didn't want to deal with it. Now, is Shedeur Sanders falling in this draft, not going drafted in rounds 2 or 3 today? The quarterback from Colorado, Deion Sanders' son, is he falling because of his mouth and how he was acting in interviews and so forth? Maybe. I wasn't in the interviews that he was doing with all these teams, so I don't know firsthand. But a lot of what you hear is a lot of these teams just don't think he's as good as Deion says he's been this whole time. And that's part of the reason. And when you're getting drafted in rounds 4 through 7, they don't think you're a starting quarterback.
No.
They think you're a backup in this league. Now, could you prove them wrong like Tom Brady? Absolutely you can. No question you can prove them wrong and still have a hell of a career and kind of flip everybody off at the end of your career and tell everybody to go, you know, take a flying leap off a short pier for passing on you for 3 rounds. Absolutely you can do that if you're Shedeur Sanders and come through. But I'll say this much. This is one hell of a humbling experience for Shedeur Sanders sitting through all of day 2. We had the draft on here at the Potawatomi Sportsbook where I am. But I wasn't as focused on that as I was on the Bucks game. And then the commercial breaks of the game, Mason Crosby and I were doing trivia, giving away all this stuff as well. How much were they going to Deion Sanders and Shedeur Sanders' house throughout this draft, Charlie?
Felt like every other pick they were flashing over to him. Any team that needed a quarterback, they were flashing.
He still had a camera in his house?
Yep. Jalen Milroe. When he got drafted by the Seahawks, they were talking about Shedeur Sanders for probably half of that segment.
No. I'm not asking how much they talked about him. I'm asking, did they have cameras on Shedeur in his house or wherever he was last night? Were they back on again today?
A couple of times that I was looking up there and saw him, there was a camera.
They still had it?
It wasn't as like packed or anything, but it was there. Yep. I mean, and his family are documenting this themselves too, so they're doing their own live stream about all of this. Like,
that's crazy.
It's a big deal for them to keep it on camera.
There's no chance. If I would have been Deion and they could have said whatever they said, I'd have been like, "Dude, we're not having cameras in here tomorrow. We're good. This was a first round deal. Y'all can go home. We're not doing cameras in here." And if you want to live stream it on you control the feed or whatever, by all means, Deion, do what you got to do. But if it's me, right, I don't need stuff in here watching him just continue to fall and fall and fall. So now day three, they're going to have huge ratings. I bet you their numbers are going to be way up until he gets drafted. And then once he gets drafted, the numbers will nosedive.
Love it. I believe it. I think this is a more humbling experience for Deion Sanders than it is for Shedeur, if I'm being honest.
Well, my God, I mean, people are taking all kinds of shots. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the first time in NFL history a player's jersey has been retired and he didn't go in the first round of the NFL draft. Now this is the first time in NFL history that a player's jersey was retired and he didn't go in the first 2 days of the draft, because, you know, they're retiring Shedeur Sanders, or they did retire Shedeur Sanders' number and Travis Hunter's number. Hunter goes 2 overall like he should have. Shedeur Sanders sitting here going into day 3, making that jersey retirement look even worse than it was originally, Charlie.
Just awful. I mean, he is a legendary player for the University of Colorado. Don't get that twisted. But at the same time, it's just poor timing to do that and have such high expectations and then have this happen.
No doubt. All right, that'll wrap it up. It has been the Milwaukee Basketball Post Game Show, presented to you by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Bucks get the win. And it feels oh so good.